Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to Take Human Action PA, episode 37. I'm Calvin. I'm your host. And, still riding high off of the Rage Against the War Machine rally last weekend. So thanks, everyone, that was able to come out for that. That was a really good event. I'll have plenty to say on that on future episodes. But we're going to go in a different direction tonight. And just get right into it with our guest because we have a lot to talk about. She is going to be a speaker at the upcoming PA convention in a week and a half, March 3rd through 5th in Reading, PA at the Ladies of Liberty Forum. She is executive director of the Libertarian Party, and she is right here with us now. She is Lainey Huston. How are you doing, Lainey?
Doing great. Thanks so much for having me, Calvin. And it was good seeing you at the rally this weekend.
Yeah, I'm glad we got a chance to talk. I was running around like crazy that day, so I was glad for the few interactions I did get to have.
Yeah, that was a lot of energy, a lot of people. I don't think I've seen so many signs all at one time for a freedom rally. That was my first big one that I've got to be a part of, and it was really great energy.
Yeah, for sure. Had a lot of highs and lows along the organizing process, but I don't think I could have asked for anything better at the end. So big shout out to Angela and Nick and all the other organizers that would take too long to name, but you were all amazing to work with, and I'm so glad I got a chance to work with you. So thanks for making the event happen. But before we go too far down there, I do want to talk more with you and get to know you a little bit better, because we've talked a few times, we met a few times in person, but I don't myself know too much about your background. So why don't you tell us how you got involved in politics and where you got your start? Tell us how you ended up in this crazy world we're in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely been a wild ride. Never thought I would wind up working in politics, but it's really rewarding and a fun experience. My libertarian origin story starts way back when. I'm one of the very few people who is actually a second-gen libertarian. I feel like anytime I'm in a room with libertarians, there's this speech where someone is talking and they're saying, everyone here is a free thinker and a critical thinker, and they came to libertarianism because they read something or they heard something and they decided that freedom was for them. I actually was raised by my dad as libertarian. Me and my three younger brothers all were. My younger brother actually makes a joke. He goes, you know, you've heard of MK Ultra. Well, we were LP Ultra. So unlike most little girls who might have been getting stories about what it was like to be a princess, or, you know, hearing Disney movies and things like that for bedtime, for me, my dad would talk to me about dumb laws. And as a six-year-old, I loved that. It was so much fun just to hear about these crazy things going on with the government. And I feel like that's a fun thing when you're a small child. But when you grow up, you realize how much that really matters. And I remember back in Michigan where I grew up, my dad actually took me to a Harry Brown presidential rally, and I actually met Harry Brown, and that was phenomenal. And you know, I never thought I would be here being a libertarian today, but always have been a lowercase L, and I'm so glad that I've made the move to actually join the movement a little bit more formally. I'm one of the very few second gen libertarians out there, and I hope we get even more of them. Are you first gen or second gen?
Well, I gotta say, like, that is a really unique, you don't hear too many second gen libertarians very often. I would say I'm first generation, but my mom was more on the liberal side and my dad was more on the conservative side and ended up giving me a lot of Ayn Rand books to read. So the two views kind of ended up meshing themselves together. So I don't know, maybe half second generation. That's just the way it worked out. I think if my dad, I think if my dad cared at all about social issues, he would be a libertarian. He's generally pro free markets, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah. Well, it's the most beautiful story. I didn't even know how my dad had become a libertarian until I'd gotten involved in all of this a couple of years ago. And kind of crazy. My parents had me young. I was their first child. And when my mom picked up baby books and pregnancy books, he was like freaking out a little bit as a young 20 something and trying to figure out how to be a dad. And he started reading about philosophy. And what he stumbled upon through a couple of Ayn Rand books and just stories about economics and things like that at the library, he discovered libertarianism, which he and many of us would describe as one of the most beautiful ways of living your life and thinking. And so he decided then and there he was going to raise all of his kids to just live and let live, be fun, be problem solvers of our own stuff. And I think that's so great that he looked to libertarianism as a good way to think about fatherhood.
That's awesome. So like, even when you went to college, you were already like a firebrand libertarian. Like, were you on an island when that was going on?
On an island during college, you're saying? Oh, yeah. In college. Yeah. Well, so funny enough, I actually went to school in Philadelphia. I went to Wharton. So that was a time I got to spend 4 years in PA and I loved it there. You had a ton of libertarians, not only in Wharton, but Penn at the time. So it felt like this big mixing bowl where people were coming together and just talking about their opinions. And I felt like I got the chance to engage with a lot of people on what their thoughts were. Although that was the time that Ron Paul was running, and that was really exciting to see. You didn't have too many Ron Paul fans on the Penn campus, unfortunately, but there was a lot of lowercase L libertarian thought, a lot of this older classic thinking of, socially liberal and fiscally conservative. It seemed like a lot of people really resonated with that, but they didn't know the word libertarian, or they would definitely not describe themselves as capital L libertarian.
All right. Yeah. So this was around the time of the 2012 campaign.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny. I was just, I just had a conversation over the weekend with someone about it when we were at the rally. And this is my oh darn story. I was abroad when the 2012 campaign happened, so I completely missed out on it. I had already signed up to study abroad, had no idea it was going to happen, so I just completely missed the ball on that one. But everything everyone has told me has said that what we got going on now with the Mises Caucus is, you know, very similar in so many ways.
I definitely have a lot of FOMO from not being involved with it. Everybody I meet who's getting stuff done in the movement in some way or another seems to have either been brought into the movement by Ron Paul or they were actively involved with the campaign. And I'm sure we'll get into a little bit later what we're doing with National today. But something I want to just share with anyone, if you resonate with my story, is that you should get involved. Like, here I was from the age of 6, loving, you know, dumb law stories more than your average, love story princess book that you might be read as a 6-year-old. And even I, when I saw Ron Paul, certainly heard about him, was listening to, you know, talk radio or just hearing about it in my community when he ran in 08 and 2012. And it never occurred to me that I could make a difference by getting involved. Like, I didn't even think, oh, this is something that I could do, like start a Ron Paul chapter at my campus or promote him as a candidate. And I just want to put it out there to you, if you are loving libertarianism and you think that there's something interesting that you can do, get involved. A, it's not that difficult. Two, you're going to find an amazing community. And three, you really can make a huge difference. The number one thing that's changing the world to make it more free today is that smart, hardworking people are jumping in and giving their time and energy to get projects done. So really hope people think about that. And you'll get to be a part of something really fun. There's a lot of groups that are happening right now that are a great time in getting things done.
Yeah. Exactly. And don't think you're too young either, because even my high school had a libertarian club. So there's definitely opportunities to get the word out there, even if you're not in college yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So after that, after you spent your 4 years in Philadelphia, what did you do next? And how'd you eventually get roped into the Mises Caucus?
Yeah. So I, like I mentioned, I was a business student. I went to Wharton undergrad and spent a couple years in Philly. And after that, I found myself falling into the tech world at Microsoft. And I moved right out of college, did an internship, and then went on to go be a part of Microsoft. Really interesting time there, by the way. And there's a lot of parallels that I'm taking from that as we're undergoing so much change with the LP. As everyone knows, Microsoft was founded by Bill Gates and then had a second CEO come in after him. And when I came in, it was that internship was the last time that second CEO was running the place. And then by the time I was had come back as a full-time person, you then had Satya Nadella, who is really trying to help Microsoft find its footing again and find its soul and really identify its culture. So it was a really, really interesting time to be there and watch Microsoft go from being certainly a huge company, but then reinvest itself in finding its mojo again. And so in many ways, they've been able to do that. They've come out with so much innovation and they've really reinvigorated the culture and attracted a lot of talent there. And I learned a lot doing that. But what it meant is that I had moved from Michigan, where I grew up, to Philly, out to Seattle, which is a very, very blue area. Wonderful place to be, but it is super, super monochromatic when it comes to the culture and the thinking. And a couple of years go by and I found myself going through some pretty harsh lockdowns, and everywhere around me, you had people who were upset by the virus and they were upset by everything was happening, but they weren't approaching it with this attitude of this is not okay. We're being way too overly safe with everything that we're doing with trying to combat this. And I even saw people abandoning their general niceness and sweetness that they have in Seattle. It's a very nice place as a Midwest girl. I you know, love that about it when I moved out there. And it was a scary, scary thing to see people in lockstep just going for weeks and weeks at a time, staying in their apartment, staying in their home, not talking to anyone, and not really using creativity to overcome the trying times that we had during COVID. And so for years at that point, I had been, as you know, a lowercase L libertarian, and it's slowly becoming an anarchist myself. And I was listening to all kinds of people who were speaking out about this and who were enraged. And after a while, I was listening to Dave Smith's podcast at the time and Tom Woods, and they kept speaking about this thing called the Mises Caucus and that there's this group of people trying to fight it. So around early 2021, I wound up reaching out to my local LP and any of the organizers in Washington saying, hey, I've been hearing about you. Is there anything that I can do to help? I'm really excited to do whatever I can to help Washington get its culture back. Like, this is insane that people are sort of just living in fear and not even trying to tackle creative solutions about how, if that is your position, that the virus is something extremely scary, how can you go on living your life and being a happy, healthy human, right? And sure enough, I found some of the most amazing people ever in Washington. We have a little joke called the Wafia of all these people who have come out of the woodwork during the similar timeframe over those years to join the LP and join Mises. And that group of people became my community, and it was incredible. And shortly thereafter, I didn't just meet people in the Seattle area or in LPWA. I met people all over the country who were doing amazing things for freedom and quickly became interested in that.
Okay, that's awesome. So you you were saying you were like in the city proper at that point?
Yeah, I was in Seattle. So you can imagine, you remember the Summer of Love and Chaz. I had just moved away from Chaz when all of that had happened. And that was a really crazy time. So if you can imagine that there was an autonomous zone a couple blocks away, you can just imagine how much sort of lockstep thinking that was happening with the lockdowns. It was a scary time to be there. And no one wanted to support each other. They all just kind of stopped living. It was really crazy. So I am really happy to have moved out of Seattle. I live in Austin, Texas now, and people are much happier and freer. I know it's that way all around the country, but there's something special going on in Austin and Texas in particular, where people are just happy to live their lives and going about things a lot freer.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. One of my good friends from Philadelphia moved down there a couple of years ago himself, not to Austin, but to Texas. And I've only been hearing good things. I'm still looking for a time and it's just a question of when at this point. When am I going to visit him? Because he's like starting his own ranch. He's building up everything like by hand himself. Like it just sounds idyllic at this point, you know.
We very much have a Galt's Gulch vibe down here. I know that from the outside, you'll hear about Austin, and everyone knows Texas is a big place for freedom, but Austin, we think of as being a little more blue or a little more liberal. But there's actually, number one, people are so friendly down here and really open-minded to different views. So you don't have that same like monoculture vibe that you have in other big cities. And two, it is a huge presence for libertarians. So most of my friend group down here, they are some kind of free thinker, libertarian, anarchist. There's something called the Austin ANCAPs, and it's just a really great group of people. So highly recommend if anyone is considering moving to Texas or going somewhere freer, you've got options. Obviously, Free State Project is great. There's a lot of good stuff happening in Florida. Pennsylvania, obviously, is an amazing community, as you well know, Calvin, but I would put my word in for Texas and Austin in general.
Yeah, well, here's the question. Is Michael Malice a regular attendee at the ANCAP meetings that you just talked about?
He's not a regular attendee at the Austin ANCAPs, but there are, it's a pretty close-knit group down here. So you've got a lot of people who are friends, neighbors, all very interconnected, and not just with anarchy. It feels like in Austin, everyone is working on some kind of cool project or has a really interesting job or just passion that they're working on. And Malice is certainly one of those people. We've got a lot of podcaster and spokespeople, authors who are down here as well. But yeah, really great group in all corners of Austin.
Yeah, that's awesome. So why don't you talk about how you got more heavily involved in the Mises Caucus and what you did when you were in a leadership position there?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I mentioned, I was living in Seattle, and the thing that really motivated me was I wanted to live in an America, or certainly the neighborhood that I was in, that was much more neighborly and fighting for freedom. It was really, really rough to hear that there weren't too many mainstream voices who were speaking out against the lockdowns. And here I heard several podcasters who kept advocating for this thing, which I had no idea about any of the inner LP politics whatsoever. They were talking about this thing called the Mises Caucus. And I will say, to this day, I'm here to work with anyone who is here to get shit done. And especially if you're going to have a good time and have a good group of people doing it while we're doing that. So what I did is I wound up reaching out to my local LP, I was taken under the wing of a couple of people who were involved there, and immediately started to build relationships. And I noticed something interesting. Libertarians, we all love localized politics, right? So we're constantly thinking about the kind of impact that we can make in the local arena, because we know that we're small but mighty, and our resources are going to be really well spent if we can focus on things in local politics. But quickly, what I was finding was that there were, not only 51 states when you include DC, but also all of these different counties. And it felt like everyone was trying to reinvent the wheel. So when I was engaged with the Mises Caucus, what that meant was you actually had a national group of people who were interested in making some change in the LP and finding ways to be more productive and more have more of an impact as libertarians. And so I started to reach out to people in different counties and different states to see if A, they needed help in some things that were my skill set, which happens to be, like we talked about, business, marketing, and I worked at Microsoft, so tech and product management. And what I found was, yes, people absolutely needed help, but they also had a bunch of insights to offer. So what I've been trying to invest my time in since I've joined the movement more formally as a volunteer and now being where I am, I'm employed at the LP, is how can we be taking all of the brilliance that is around the country in each of these different localized movements and scaling that where it makes sense? Because if you think about it, when you're running a candidate, it makes sense to focus on a local sheriff election or a local school board election. But the insight that you might get around what's the tech that is backing up that election, or what's the marketing strategy to help promote your candidate, that's something that you can use everywhere. And with things like social media or press strategy, there are no borders when it comes to information. And we as a movement need to be thinking about how we can actually be spreading the message nationally or internationally. It's not just something that we're going to be doing at the local level. So that was wonderful. And I certainly met a lot of great people, both in the Mises Caucus and in lots of caucuses. I'm really excited to work with people who are interested in this, like, scalable projects and scalable skill set stuff at the national level. And that led me to where I am here today.
Yeah, and we're glad to have you. I know there's a lot going on at LP National right now. So there are definitely a lot of drastic changes at Reno. I think everybody knows that. So how did it get to the point that, I don't remember exactly how long it was, but sometime after the Reno National Convention in May of 2022, how did it get to the point where you were working with the Mises Caucus and, you know, finding yourself in the role of the executive director of the national party?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Mises Caucus was really the way that I even heard about being a part of the LP. And it was the first group of people that I met when I joined. And as you know, there's a lot of people who came together and were trying to vote in some platform and bylaws changes, but also a group of new leadership into the LP. And it was really exciting to be a part of that and to see if we could get, just some new life and energy into the LP. When I was a part of that, I had no idea that I would ever be working here. In fact, I was sort of thinking that this would be like a fun project that I would do. And I was really excited to help and work on sort of this national infrastructure and ways that we could run candidates. And I personally was really excited about our opportunities as a movement for 2024. So when I was, going to Reno, I, of course, took a weekend off from my job, came back, went right back to work at Microsoft. And a few months later, it turned out that the executive director who preceded me, Tyler Harris, he had decided to step down. He'd done what he needed to do and was ready to hand the baton off to someone else. And lo and behold, to me, I had worked with Angela during some of the prep for Reno, and she reached out and said, "Hey, I know this is crazy and never in a million years would you do this, but would you be interested in joining at the LP?" And I said, "You know what? If you really need me, like, why not?" So originally we thought this was going to be an interim thing where I was just there for a couple of months, a great way for us to get organized and, just sort of rearrange how we could get things done as the staff. And they hooked me. They kind of trapped me and I fell in love with it. And I'm really excited to continuing that work on longer term. We have a fantastic board and chair who are have a really bold vision of some things that we can do to make the LP even more impactful and relevant. And a big way that that happens is through mobilizing a staff of people who work for LP National, or as we like to say, LPHQ. And it is really rewarding work to not only be able to see that new energy and change happen at Reno, but to go implement it, which is the hard work that needs to get done for it to happen.
Yeah, that's awesome. So one thing that I bet is a burning question for the audience, what does the executive director do? In fact, I'm not sure, maybe not the majority, but a good number of the members of the LP at large actually know what goes on at national headquarters. So can you tell us what your job is and what goes on, like, maybe day to day amongst the staff and at headquarters?
Yeah, it's a great question. And like I mentioned, I'm lowercase L Libertarian long time, uppercase L for a very short time. So this is all new to me. And I've got the fresh perspective to explain to anyone else who's confused how it works. So for the most part, we are a national committee, Libertarian National Committee and political party. So we have a democratically elected board, which includes our chair, Angela McArdle, and that group of people, they're really our vision and our guidance in setting the bold steps that we want to take as a party. And what they will do is sort of figure out the direction that they want the party to go. They're all elected by you all, the members. And if you're not a member, a shameless plug that you can join us at lp.org/join. And you can donate if you're already a member at lp.org/donate. Each convention members will elect that group of people to help set the direction. And what that group then does is recruit a staff that will then go implement that vision. So as an executive director, it's my charter to make sure that we are taking those ideas of the board and we are translating them into a reality that we can actually see and deliver to members. And then of course, what happens when you're able to level up from albeit very hardworking volunteers who work all over the LP, but take that from people who are working long hours, but still probably part-time and translate that into a full-time staff is you get people with skill sets and expertise that can work on something all day, every day to make that a reality. So within the staff, we do a couple of exciting functions. The first is really about growth. So we have a team we call Growth and Operations, and this group is in charge of fueling our war chest with the revenue we need to go fight all of our political battles and have political impact, and to do that efficiently. So in a little bit, I would love to talk with you about everything we're doing with technology. We've hired our very first CTO, and he's making a huge impact here. And another person who got their start through Mises. In general, we've got a lot of ways that we're trying to streamline all of our operations. But that team is really responsible for making sure that we're able to grow the footprint of the LP and facilitate all of the normal business operations that you would need to run a political party. And then the second group that we have is called Political Impact. And this is where a lot of the magic happens, where we are trying to get ballot access initiatives pushed forward, supporting our state affiliates and county affiliates with resources that they need, supporting our candidates and paving the way for them to be very successful, and any of the other exciting political projects that you might see. For example, you mentioned the Rage Against the War Machine rally that just took place over the weekend. That was a political impact project that we funded. So a lot of really exciting stuff is happening there. I know something that there was a lot of energy for in Reno was also to update our messaging. So in this political impact team, we're not only thinking about classic political projects that we can fund and throw our energy into, but we're also investing in easy things like marketing and how we can get the word out to more people to be libertarian, apply pressure to the cathedral, and so on and so forth. So that is what we do for you as staff. And something that's very important to us, in addition to helping the party grow, helping grow that war chest, making things more efficient and funding political impact projects, is for us to listen to you as members and hear your ideas and give you ways to volunteer. So we are really just the backbone of helping the LP operate, and we want to empower everyone who considers themselves a libertarian to make a difference.
That's awesome. So we did get an audience question on that I'll pull up now. So yeah. Can you tell us more about the chief technology officer? So what tech-wise is happening there right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me give a quick shout out. His name is Andy Bukovich, and he's a very active member of LPCO out in Colorado. And Andy, by day, actually has a day job where he works full time. And he is a software developer who is really experienced in not only a wide breadth of implementation of technologies, has a lot of experience with CRMs and automations that we can be implementing all over our tech stack, but he's also really good at finding ways to do project management and implement Scrum Agile. So for any of you tech nerds out there, you know that not only what you work on with tech, but how you work on it is equally as important. So this is the first CTO that the party has ever had. We're a 50-year organization, and in the 21st century, we have finally found someone who can lead this as their main focus at the party. So what Andy's been doing for us is looking through our entire digital portfolio and identifying, okay, what software is going to be the most efficient, the most cost effective, and really give us the bells and whistles we need as a group that's powered mostly by volunteers to level up. So in a couple of days and weeks here, we're excited to make a lot of announcements along that front, but we're going to be giving people more ways to participate by using technology, and Andy is helping us do that.
Yeah, I definitely love all those people you mentioned so far. I got a chance to meet him in Reno. He's a good guy for sure. Mm-hmm. So it's awesome to hear that.
Have you on the podcast. He's actually originally a Pennsylvania resident as well.
Okay. I'm not sure I knew that. There seem to be a lot of people who touched in PA.
It's great. It's a great place. Funny.
Oh, well, if we got time in the end, we'll have to talk a little bit more about that. but for now.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, I know that we are going to get into some of the projects that LP National is working on right now. So why don't you give us some of the highlights? What's happening in HQ?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you hadn't heard of it already, as we've been talking about on the show, the party just got finished hosting a really large rally in the DC area with a lot of sister organizations doing it around the country to really speak out against the war that's happening in Ukraine and Russia right now. And so right coming off of that, there are a lot of other initiatives that we are diving into that are coming up pretty soon. The hallmark of this rally was really two things. Number one, how can we leverage a coalition building strategy to team up with other people that we might not agree with agree on everything together, but we agree on something important, and certainly peace is at the very forefront of that. So moving forward, we're really excited to hear from members, what other things would you like to see us do coalitions around? There's any number of topics that libertarians are passionate about, and whether it's partnering with other political parties, other groups that are also passionate about this, we want to be growing our movement and making sure we have an impact by teaming up with others. So we're really excited to see what other coalitions can come to fruition in the next couple of months. But on top of that, we're really just investing in the basics and the fundamentals at the LP. So I know that as a lowercase L libertarian, it's kind of complicated to know how you get involved with your local affiliates and your national movement. So we're doing basic things like making it really simple to sign up and figure out how you can be a part of the National Libertarian Party. And then from there, what kinds of perks you have as a member. So in the very next couple of days here, we're excited to announce all kinds of new things that we know you guys are going to be excited about, whether you're an existing member or someone who's interested in making the jump. We want to thank you and make sure that we're investing or giving back value into your lives. We're not just investing in these political projects, but we're making more opportunities for you to be involved in a party that you're excited to be in. And something we've been getting a lot of demand for is having more community. So like I mentioned, Calvin, when I first started, I was feeling siloed. I was living by myself in a one-room apartment in Seattle, and it was completely lonely, like, to be honest, to be there during the lockdowns. And even though the lockdowns are mostly over throughout the U.S., that is the number one thing that we are seeing that people want, is they want to be connected to other people, and not only in real life and people who live in their state and their county, but people all across the country. So community is something that we are focused on, and we're excited to announce exactly where you can do that. As we were talking about a little bit earlier, Calvin, there's some exciting news coming out about that, but pretty soon here, as a member, you'll be able to join on be a part of a digital community where you can get in touch with other libertarians. And in addition to that, people who are really passionate about this movement, they don't just want to talk with others and explore their interests and, you know, swap which Ayn Rand books that they like or which guns are their favorite. They want to be able to actually get involved and do stuff. So something that we had mentioned earlier when I talked about my story is there's so many ways to get involved locally that you're just, you walk into any LP meeting and people are tripping over themselves asking you to run for something or to be a part of something locally. And if you have skill sets where we can take advantage of your knowledge and your expertise that will scale, we want to give you a way to do that as part of this this hub. So really excited to be announcing some opportunities to volunteer, and we can get into more of that if that's something you want to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not sure how much you can say about that at this point, but maybe this question will help us go in that direction, because I know this is something that some people in the party, especially if they're more heavily involved in their state party and not always following what's going on at national. Let's say they're like a state chair or a state board member, or even like a candidate running for office, particularly at the local level. Yeah. If they need assistance on something, if they just want like advice on how to run their campaign, like various kinds, like anything from like, you know, how do I get myself some exposure to, do you have any literature that you could send me or PDFs that I could print myself? How do I file this one form with the state? Anything like that. So if there are those kind of questions or just general, you know, requests for support, I know like you probably can't do everything, but just to see, you know, if you did want to say like, hey, I'm looking for some help with this thing, how do you actually go about contacting the national party to see if that's something they can help with? Like, what's the best way to go about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So of course we have our website, lp.org, where we do publish a lot of materials. If you're an affiliate, you're able to purchase some marketing materials and things like that that you can put out through LP Store. We put out most of those at cost, so it's just, you know, made available so that you don't have to do the work to invest in all of that content creation yourself. But if you are looking on the website and you're not seeing an answer or resource to your question, there's two ways that you can get help. So first, you can reach out to info@lp.org. Maybe we can put that in the description below after this and send any question on your mind. Our staff will go through that and route it to the right place or get you an answer straight away. And sometimes if we don't have something, that's really helpful because we'll take a note, and when we're seeing demand, we'll be able to generate resources for that. But just to put in perspective, Calvin, the LPHQ staff is quite small. I think there's about 10 of us right now. We're constantly bringing on and having some change with our members. And we do have those 23 board members. So you're looking at, like, when it comes to us and the volunteers, a group of about 50 people who are working for you, the members, although we hope to be growing that. As I mentioned, there's going to be more opportunities to apply to both jobs and volunteer positions coming soon. But what we are really excited about with this hub that we're going to be launching in the next couple of days and weeks is we want to not try to have centralized resources that we are only creating at National HQ, but we want to be creating opportunities for members to be sharing those with each other. So decentralization and doing things from the grassroots up, that's a big core tenet of not only Mises, but of, you know, in general, libertarians who know that it's not always great to have everything centrally controlled. We want to be making sure we are facilitating places where people can share, hey, this was really useful to me, or I have a question, can anyone do this? And rather than having LPHQ be this middleman trying to do everything for everyone, we want to open it up to where you can ask us, but you can also get answers from other people. So hopefully that will help accelerate a lot of the work that we can do well together across the country.
Yeah, that is a really good point. Is I know there's just spread throughout the state a lot of experts on certain things, certain topics. Maybe they made this, I don't know, guide to, you know, Robert's Rules, or, you know, what to include in county bylaws or something like that, that LP National might not have. And if they were able to share with everyone, I think that, you know, that would be really beneficial just to have yeah. some place where you can do that.
And one of the things that we can do is we can keep an eye out for that and maintain and compile stuff so that we're not having to reinvent the wheel every time. And if someone does share a good answer, we just maintain that and distribute it to everyone then. And we'll still continue to invest in direct resources, but why wait on us just as 50 people? We're not going to be able to do as much as the thousands of libertarians around the country will be able to do together.
Yeah, that has been a big hang up to this point, just reinventing the wheel over and over again. I think that's been a lot of why we haven't been able to crack more or less above the same voting numbers that we've been getting over and over again for the past several years. So I'm glad that we're finally taking steps to change that.
Yeah. And let's talk about that for a second, because I think this is a really important point. It is really hard to volunteer as a member of the LP or someone who's passionate about freedom. Number one, it's a tough fight. We are in the minority. And while we've been having a lot of energy and a lot of growth recently, and clearly it's a majority opinion of Americans that they want to be free and they want to have a better culture, you know, more choices. This is not a minority opinion, but people who consider themselves libertarian, it's a small group of people who are actually doing the work, and that can lead to burnout. And what we don't want people to have to do is either one, spin their wheels wondering how to do something, or two, waste that precious energy reinventing something that someone else in another county or state or a national headquarters has already figured out. So that's really critical for us to be getting good at that. We're such a small group. We have to be really, really efficient in making sure we're utilizing everyone's energy the best we can.
Sorry, wrong button. Yeah, 100% agree. So are there any other projects or initiatives that you wanted to touch on that's going on at headquarters?
Yeah, well, we, like I mentioned, we're going to be having a couple of positions that open up soon on the website. We have a new tab down at the bottom of the footer, which says work at the LP. I believe it's lp.org/talent. And there we post job postings where you can literally work at the LP and make that your full-time or part-time position. But we're also going to be opening up volunteer positions there. And so for any of you who are out there and you're excited by the messaging that we've been seeing at National, quick shout out. We have been growing like crazy. I believe in 2022, we quadrupled our messaging in a matter of a couple of months that was happening in our earned media. And our follower growth has been off the charts. And that's really a testament to the hard work of the people who've been working on our messaging, our marketing, and particularly our social media. So if that excites you and anything around that, whether it's measuring the growth or finding ways that we can analyze who our audience should be, whether it's writing content yourself, whether that's video like this podcast or writing things short form or long form, we are looking for more people to join that team. And I can't say anything about it right this minute, but I do think I'm not spoiling anything to say that we have just signed on a very special new volunteer. It's a huge name in the Liberty movement, and they're going to be doing a lot of ghostwriting for us. So coming soon to an announcement near you, we're going to be having a brand new member of the team. And if you want to work with people like this individual, we would love to have you as well. We need everyone from people to man our Twitter, to people to develop our photography, build graphics, and analyze how our growth is happening. And that team is going to be growing quite a bit. On that note, I would love to talk about another special direction that we're going when it comes to these projects. Yeah. Because I think so often it's easy for us to say, okay, what are your skill sets and what can you do, and kind of pigeonhole people into that. Something we've been noticing that's been really effective when it comes to getting things off the ground is putting people into groups and giving them a topic or a project and saying, okay, go. You guys are empowered to tackle this initiative. What would you think the strategy should be? So going back to this idea of decentralization, while 50 people is a lot, that's a lot of people who are working for you to make your national LP as effective as possible. We would love to build an infrastructure where if you are interested in a particular topic area, you and a couple other people from around the country, could be people you know or people you're getting connected to by us, you can go tackle something that you're really passionate about. And let me ask you, Calvin, you're a libertarian. I know you do a ton to volunteer for the movement. What is the thing that keeps you really invested as libertarian? Like, why are you spending so much time as an activist trying to get the word out?
You know, that's a really good question. I'd say it's two things at the end of the day. The community and the hope for a better future.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so what I find is for almost everyone, there are about two things, right, that really drive them. For me, it was originally lockdowns and culture. I want to live in America where you can feel like you are free and you're around people who love that as well. So if you were sitting here interested in helping make one of those two things happen for Americans or for yourself, we want to give a place for you to do that at the LP. Let's say it's community. We were just speaking about this new hub that we're excited to launch in a couple of days and weeks here. And let's say you're interested in that. We want to give you a concrete way. You can not only give your membership and your money to the LP, but you can work on something that you know you're making a difference. And it's a very specific, tangible project that you can put your name on and be proud of and make that a success, whether that's for years and years or just like a very short set of weeks, one and done type of project, you move on. That's something I'm excited to see happen in the next couple of weeks here.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm sure we'll have more to talk about that here once we're done with the episode. So unless you got anything else, there is an event coming up in a week and a half that I definitely want to get into.
Yeah, no, I think the main thing that I hope people take away is we are reinvesting in member perks, and a lot of exciting stuff is happening with volunteering and messaging, and that we're going to be announcing the next couple of days and weeks. So stay tuned, and we're excited to give people even more ways to donate and volunteer. And thank you, because I feel like everyone listening to this is probably already an invested member. But let's move on to talking about the Pennsylvania Convention, because I'm really excited to see all of you next weekend.
Yeah, right on. So I think I will share the screen, because I think the website is really well done. I already got it loaded on here. So let me pull that up real quick. Prevent me from having to say everything. It'll be better if I just show it. So Libertarian Party of Pennsylvania 2023 convention. Pennsylvania is the gold standard. And in many ways it is. Like, I don't think I got a chance to tell you this pre-show, but I think we're the only convention or the only state to have Dave Smith come 3 years in a row. That's definitely something, but we've definitely got a variety of good speakers this year. Here's someone I'm not entirely familiar with. yeah, but in all seriousness, like we have Lainey here, who's going to be speaking at the Ladies of Liberty Forum, along with Hannah Cox and Amy Lepore. So I will scroll down to, I'll just show the venue real quick. It's going to be in Reading, Pennsylvania, at the Doubletree. I just found out, by the way, it's the highest rated Doubletree in the country. So that's something. Then you can't buy any packages with food anymore. Unfortunately, we are past that deadline, but you can still get a hotel room and you can still buy tickets for the events that don't have food, including the Ladies of Liberty Forum right here.
Awesome. And I really hope people come out. I'm so grateful to Libertarian Party of Pennsylvania for inviting me. This is going to be a great chance to talk to everyone. And I know the LPPA events are legendary. This will actually be my first one, but I've heard a lot of great things about them in the past. So I hope everybody drives out. And Calvin, you can correct me if I'm wrong about this, but Pennsylvania allows people to come from out of state. Is that correct? Or is it just PA residents now?
So this is actually the first year in who knows how long that people from out of state can't vote. But that just means you can't participate in business. You can still do all the meals if you purchase them already, all the speakers, the after party, everything. And even if you are, you know, you can't participate in business and you don't feel like watching it, that's fine, because there's still tons of sponsors, tons of sponsored tables. I don't know them all off the top of my head, but I know the Mises Caucus is a sponsor and Liberty Speaks is a sponsor. And there's going to be lots of other sponsor tables there too. So there's going to be a lot of great organizations represented at the PA convention. people, you know, great people you can talk with while the business is going on. So there'll definitely be no shortage of things to do. In fact, I know some people go to the convention that intentionally wait out in the hallway while business is going on, because that's their favorite part of the convention, just enjoying the conversations that they have with people.
That's great. Yeah. So if you heard here first, if you're a Pennsylvania resident, come so you can vote. But if you haven't yet, you should come on down if you're within driving distance. There's a lot of famous events that happen in the Liberty world. Everyone knows Pork Fest. You've got Childeberg here in Austin. You've got the Freedom Fest. But I feel like Pennsylvania Convention is getting a bit of a reputation for being a good time. So I'm really excited to go and hope other people do too.
Yeah, for sure. They always have a great speaker lineup. Hopefully you'll be able to join us for the Bash as well.
That's Saturday, right? Yeah, I should be there both nights. So looking forward to that.
Awesome. That's great. And then we also have the challenge coins this year. This is new. So if you buy, you can still buy these. If you buy a challenge coin, then you get special perks, including express credentialing for business and priority bar service. And they'll, I heard that there will be other benefits that have yet to be announced. I think they're going to be doing this in future years too. So they might have additional benefits in the future for holders of last year's coin and this coming year's coin. So that's really exciting. I'll be interested to see what they end up doing with that.
That's awesome. Well, let me ask you this, Calvin. We've been talking a lot about my journey at National, and I'd really love to hear from you. What at the rally this weekend, that was one of the best parts of participating, is there were libertarians from all over the country who flown out, and I got to just talk to them about what they needed. And I'd love to hear from your perspective as a person trying to get things done in Pennsylvania. What are some things you'd like to see National do for you?
Yeah, so right now, now that the rally is done, we have some issue coalitions projects that that we're talking about in the works. So our issues coalitions committee is the one we have at the state level. They're very energetic and motivated, but the people who are on it right now, generally speaking, are very new. We don't have a whole lot of experience of people who have run those kinds of events before. So I'm not quite sure what the best suggestion is there, but you know, any tips or tricks or guides as far as like organizing rallies go, good groups to partner with, anything like that would be welcome.
That's great to hear. And that sounds about on point. Every time I speak to someone who's working hard in an affiliate, it seems like that's the main thing that they're looking for, is either people with expertise that they can talk to or resources. So hopefully we can get you something direct or find someone else around the country who can hook you up with that.
Yeah. And another big area is candidates. Those are probably going to be the two big focuses for the rest of the year. Cause like I was telling you I think before we started, the odd year elections in Pennsylvania, that's all the local elections. Like last year when we had, well, as with every even year election cycle, we have federal down to state representative is the lowest level office that's up for election in an even year. So those are very difficult to win. The odd year races, those are the ones that are actually winnable. So we're going to be spending a lot of time and energy targeting those. And we do have a crack squad in Pennsylvania. That's definitely true. But we're going to be running so many candidates, I anticipate that we're going to have our hands full. So, you know, any general guidance there, any resources that could be provided to us would be a big help.
That's great. And this is something that's public if people caught the most recent February board meeting. So I'll just give a quick preview and there'll be more information coming out about that. In the past, there's been demand for having trainings at the regional level, and the board is going to be organizing through a partnership with another organization, a way to get training, again, around to each of our 8 different regions. And what we're looking at doing this year is not only training candidates, but training the teams who support them. So imagine if you want to be a campaign manager for someone, or if you want to help be a treasurer or a fundraising manager, what are the skills that you need? That is coming soon. I know for a lot of people, it can be an intimidating thing to be the person who's running, but it's really easy to get your feet wet and support somebody like that, especially if you've got some free time and you're raring to go. National would like to help get you the training you need to do any of those roles. So really looking forward to having that happen, and that should be coming to a region near you very soon.
Yeah, that's awesome. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. It's funny with Region 5 in particular, it stretches from Pennsylvania to South Carolina, and even driving from, like, most people who haven't spent a lot of time here don't realize this, but just driving from the west to the east side of Pennsylvania alone is 6 hours, let alone, like, if you're in Pittsburgh or Erie or something, you want to drive down or training in, well, it's not South Carolina anymore. Sorry. It's North Carolina now, but still, like, driving down to Raleigh or something, you know, it's not ideal. In fact, I think the Region 8 training last year, or is it the year before, the one they had in Atlantic City, actually ended up being like maybe 3 to 4 times closer to me than the Region 5 training was, as it turned out.
Yeah, I know that not all the regions are contiguous. So the goal is just to make sure everyone is getting the resources they need. The board is kind of organizing that by region, but there's a clear demand for not just having in-person trainings, but having things be on demand or accessible online. So hopefully there'll be a nice blend for everybody to be able to get the materials they need. But what I hope comes as a good news is that it's not just for candidates, it's for the teams who support them. And kudos to Angela and the board for really making sure that that is top of mind as we gear up for elections this year and next year.
That's awesome. So do we have a rough timetable for that? Like, when you think those might be happening?
Yeah, it's a great question. So like I mentioned, they're getting organized regionally, so it works for every region. And that means that the regional officers are going to be invested. And so did you mention with Pennsylvania being Region 5, that's obviously led by Andrew Watkins, and he's the one to reach out to if anyone is wanting it to be in a particular place at a particular time. Just great to hear from people when they want these things to happen. But the funding for that was just approved in the early February timeframe.
Okay, great. Is there anything else you wanted to make sure that the audience knew about before we wrap up?
I'll just do a quick roundup to answer a couple of questions you had earlier. If anyone is needing anything from National, go to our website, lp.org. And then if you have a question, the best way to get it answered is to reach out to info@lp.org. We put that in every email, but you can just reach out to us anytime with your questions. If you are thinking about donating or joining this thing, it's really easy to do, very cheap and free even to just sign up to become a member, and cheap to become a sustaining member. It only costs $25 a year to be able to do that. And very soon, the member perks for being a monthly donor are going to get even better. A quick plug for that, if you like to see the LP investing in really cool projects, the best way that you can do that is to be a monthly donor, because it gives us really predictable amount of investment that we're having from our donors, and we can rely on that and then plan really cool big things. So I recommend you reach out to lp.org/donate or lp.org/join and then sign up to be a monthly donor today. But after all of those lp.org plugs, that's all I wanted to share with you tonight, Calvin, and thank you for having me tonight, and to everyone at LPPA for inviting me to come out next week. Really excited to talk to you all.
Yeah, thanks, Selene. So how can people follow what's going on with you and LP National?
Yeah, so funny enough, as a marketer, I spend a lot more time building up other people's channels than my own, but I think you can find me at Laney something on Twitter, Instagram, Clubhouse, etc. Locals, wherever you have all those platforms. So at Laney something, and hope to see you there. Of course, the even cooler channel that you can follow is at LP National on Twitter. And we have a number of handles across all of the different social media platforms. So hope people like the messaging, and we are constantly trying to make it better, and hope to see you there.
Yeah. That reminds me of one thing I wanted to mention before we close out.
Yeah, go for it.
I wish I could have listened to more of it, but I did catch the Twitter Spaces that was done right before the rally. Mm-hmm. And I heard you on it. So it's great to see that, LP Nationals getting out there and reaching out to more people in more diverse venues than they have up mm-hmm. to this point. And it was particularly funny when Clint had his existential crisis that the voice of the Libertarian Party is female, and I don't know how I'm going to reckon with this.
There you go. Well, like I joked on Twitter Spaces, the future is female. So that should be no surprise. And in all seriousness, that is a really fun, really hard grouping work of people, or really hardworking, group of people who make all of our social media. And it's not just social. It's a bunch of different channels. They work hard to make a success. And after some early growth in the past couple of months, we are expanding that team. So if you want to be a part of it, go to lp.org/talent, and we've got a little thing open already called Dream Job at the LP. You can apply there, and we are looking through those resumes for great people to bring on as volunteers and even full-time staff. So would love to bring more people on. So if you want to be the voice of the LP, female or not, you should apply to us, and we'd love to bring on more people.
Well, I think you've definitely done a great job promoting everything today. So thanks again, Lainey, for coming on.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Calvin. Talk to you later.
Yep. And good night, everyone. We'll see you at the Reading Convention.
The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. Support your healthy CoQ10 levels and blood pressure with 2 chews a day. Visit RadioBeats.com and save 15% with promo code DEAL.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now. Save big money.